Blog Talk Radio.
Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone. I pray everybody has had a blessed day and have been richly blessed of the Most High. As you all know, I sent out pictures of someone, this young kid, ran his truck through the black, through the back wall at the house. And he wasn't hurt, but what happened was, after everything was all said and done, what happened is he clipped the back end of a car in the turning lane, and it, you know, he kind of hit the car hard, and it deployed his airbag, and so he couldn't see where he was going, and you know, they think he just panicked, and you know, instead of hitting the brake, he hit the gas pedal, because he, where he actually hit this car at, is probably 150, 200 feet away from where he hit, you know, entered the yard at. But, you know, he hit it, he hit that wall. That wall is, it was about 10 feet tall, concrete rebar reinforced. And so, you know, I'll send out some other pics, but where he went through it, you know, he just came, he hit it and just blasted through it. And the thing is I and my son and his son had just left from out there maybe 5 or 10 minutes prior to that. I was moving stuff into the shed and was actually taking a break, like a 5 or 10 minute break, and heard this weird, you know, this weird noise and then this loud crash. And ran to the backyard and thank the Most High nobody was back there, because he hit it so hard. Probably the bricks flying and the mortar would have killed someone. It's that hard. And the shed that I just put up, well, got to do some repairs to it, because the bricks coming off of the off of where he hit, you know, dented it up, didn't tear through the metal, but, you know, dented it up pretty bad, and put a small hole in a couple of places that I will probably have to patch, because in order to repair it, I'd have to take the roof off and those pieces to replace them. So I'm probably just going to charge, you know, the insurance company for the labor that it takes me to do that. But, you know, it, I'm just glad the young man wasn't hurt. You know, he wasn't seriously injured, and there was nobody in the backyard that was injured. And I thank Yah for that, because, it really could have been worse than it was. And like I said, that wall, I mean, those walls are sturdy. They're not made to come down. So, you know, cinder block with rebar, like a half inch rebar going all the way through it, sideways and up and down, and concrete poured inside of that. So he hit it during a pretty good clip. That truck is totaled, you know, just really smashed the whole front end completely in. But I thank Yah, again, you know, that nobody was hurt. That I wasn't out there, because I had been spending a lot of time out there back and forth, you know, and at different times screwing down anchors and, you know, trying to seal it up front so that water doesn't go in. I mean, I could have been out there doing anything. And, yeah, it could have been bad. Or my grandson could have been out there, or anybody. And it would have just been bad. So, we thank the Most High. Now, you know, I'm thinking that the enemy really didn't want me to do this lesson tonight, because, you know, I had to run. I had my tent for Tabernacles that is in the backyard, you know, that the wind blew down, and I was going to replace it, but I had put a heavy tarp over it. And so this tarp is about 10 feet by 20 feet. And I, you know, I cut it in half so that I could seal up this hole, because what I found out, you know, the police don't do anything about that. It's up to the homeowner to do everything when something like that happens. So I had to patch up the hole, and it was too wide for, what do you call it? Plywood. It was too wide for that, because this hole is wider than 10 feet. And so I had this tarp. It's a thick tarp. It's a heavy-duty tarp that I was, you know, using to reinforce my tent for tabernacles. And so I just got it and cut it in half. And then because it is thick and heavy duty, just, you know, made sure that it was stretched across there and bolted into the wall so that nobody could come through there. I mean, somebody, you know, they could cut it and come through, of course, but, you know, they would really be having to want to come in. Just pray that I don't catch them if they do that. I won't be responsible for whatever happens. So, you know, I actually finished right at 6:02, and I said, well, I could have maybe, you know, kept the original time, but I delayed the broadcast by 30 minutes, you know, trying to give myself time to bolt that down and make sure that it's secure, because then we've got a lot of cleanup to do. You know, all of that is on the owner of the home. So Sunday, I know what I'll be doing, is, you know, cleaning up this mess. And then next week, you know, getting quotes for what it'll cost to repair, not just that hole, because, you know, it's not just there that's damaged, but down the fence some as well, to get that repaired, which means they would have to tear out, you know, another 5 feet of wall to, you know, to actually repair it correctly. And I'm going to make sure that they do that, tear that out. Anyway. So we pray all is well with everyone else. We pray your strength in the Most High. And once again, I say, I thank the Most High that no one was hurt. The young man, he hit that wall coming through it. It actually reminds me of the accident that, you know, my brother actually got killed in maybe 10 years ago, probably 2 or 3 miles from here, hit a wall like that. But he hit a boulder, and it flipped his vehicle over. But, you know, this young man, the car stayed, you know, on the four tires, and, you know, I'm thinking he had to hit that windshield too, because the airbag had already deployed way before then, and it would have gone down. They don't stay inflated. So when he hit that wall, I don't think that airbag could have been up. It may have been up where he couldn't see. But it wasn't inflated to stop him from, you know, hitting the steering wheel or the windshield. And when I looked at that windshield, you could see where something hit the windshield. And I'm thinking it probably was him or his head. That's the way it looked, at least to me. But I think, yeah, you know, he didn't feel like he was injured. His mother, he was only 16 years old, so he probably panicked. And, you know, his mother came up there and got him, and they towed the truck away. So, you know, thank the Most High, nobody was seriously hurt or injured, and it was just this wall. Because it could have been, you know, anything could have been going on in the backyard, and people could have been, seriously, I think at that speed and how far he knocked, you know, knocked the wall completely down, but it didn't just knock the wall down. It flung bricks. It flung them pretty far, about some 50 or 60 feet. He hit it that hard. So if somebody had been outside and gotten hit, then it could have been very, very, you know, serious, could have been deadly. For anybody on the outside. That being said, as I said, I don't think the enemy wanted me to do this precept, because this is one of those precepts that it is very argumentative amongst my Hebrew brothers and sisters, you know, when they should, let's say, eat something that is not, you know, part of the dietary law, that is not, that we don't practice eating. So I wanted to go through this because, in this particular scriptures that we're going to look at, We're dealing with discipleship, and we're dealing with bringing people into the kingdom, and we're dealing with offending people. Okay, and so I want to set up the scenario so that, you know, we have understanding, because it's different if somebody knows that you keep the dietary law and you've explained it to them. Hey, I don't eat that for these reasons. You know, even if it was for health reasons, you know, if it was for health reasons, you say, hey, I don't eat that, or I can't eat that, then that's one thing. But if you don't tell them that you follow the dietary laws and, you know, a certain situation happens and the scriptures give us an example, you got to understand that for kingdom's sake, for bringing somebody into the kingdom and not chasing them away, not offending them, so that, you know, they like, well, no, I don't have anything to do with that. The scriptures allow for some things. And so we got to understand it's not for us to abuse, because, you know, everybody that ate pork chops didn't hate eating pork chops, or didn't hate eating pork, or didn't hate eating shrimp. You know, the things that are unlawful to us. I used to cook pork chops all the time and shrimp like it was, you know, going out of style, seafood connoisseur, crabs and all this kind of stuff. And when I found out that it was unclean and against the dietary laws, then I stopped, because it's against the dietary laws of the Most High. Okay, and I stopped eating pork long before that, because pork gave me boils, and I found out that it was the cause of, you know, I was getting some boils like on my neck or on my back, and couldn't figure out where they were coming from, and found out that it was pork that was doing it. So I had, many years before, you know, even finding out about the dietary laws, had given up on eating pork for that reason. So when it came down to, you know, finding out that swine was unclean, okay, no big deal. I'm not eating it anyway. But there was other things like catfish that I was eating that I just had to stop. Crabs, shrimp, you know, seafood in general, oysters, all this kind of stuff. I loved seafood. You know, used to spend a lot of time fishing and crabbing and doing all these things. So it was part of my life. And when I found out concerning the dietary laws, and I let all that go without a question, just can't do it anymore. Okay. And haven't missed it, you know, haven't said, I wish I could have some catfish, or, oh gee, I wish I could have some shrimp. It's just not allowed. So, you know, I don't even allow my mind to go there with that kind of stuff. But what we're going to talk about today is, as a disciple, and for the kingdom's sake, and for the soul of a person. So I want to pose this question to you before we start. We'll do our, you know, our statement of faith, and we will do, you know, we'll pray in. But I want to ask everybody a question before we start. What would you allow? How do I want to phrase this? What would you allow or what would you let keep somebody out of the kingdom? Think about this. You're talking about somebody's eternity. You're talking about their salvation. And what offense would you allow or not allow that would keep somebody out of the kingdom? So you're talking about them ending up in the lake of fire because of something you did, because of something you said. Okay. I want you to contemplate that. And I may have to rephrase this question, but I want you to consider the matter. Somebody ending up not going into the kingdom because you offended them. What could be worth somebody's eternity in the kingdom to you? Okay, I want you to contemplate this, because when we are going to discuss this, or when I'm going to teach this, and when we read the scriptures, I want you to understand that we want to do exactly what's in the scriptures. We want to allow what the Most High allows, and we want to disallow what he disallows. And I think a lot of times when we have come into the truth, we have offended family, friends, strangers, because oh no, I don't do that. But there is, like I said, there are proper circumstances and situations. And so I want to talk about that today, because I think that a lot of times we being stringent on what we do and what we're convicted of and what the scriptures say, but the world is not there. And so, you know, they're still eating pork and all this kind of stuff. And they're not there. But, you know, you are convicted that, no, we don't do this, and we keep this dietary law. And so we don't do that. I want to go over a couple of scenarios with this precept so that we can understand and see the difference. And what you have to consider is this. This is the bottom line. What would you want somebody to have not done that would have kept you out of the kingdom? What could somebody have done that would have offended you, and you would have said, like, I don't want anything to do with you people. There's something wrong with y'all. Because they may not understand. Okay, but then in the scenario that the Bible and the scriptures talk about, the person has been offended by, or could be offended by, your actions. And so the scriptures say, don't do this. Okay, don't do this. And it tells you how to handle it. You know that if you eat some pork, it ain't going to kill you. If you eat some shrimp, it ain't going to kill you. You know, it's not going to kill you. If you used to eat it before, you know that it's not going to kill you. All right? So it's not about it killing you. Okay? So are we going to profess to be so holy and so clean that if we ate this, and the Most High says that he would sanctify it, so you're okay as far as he's concerned. But now, you got a person that's in a situation where they don't want anything to do with the Most High. They don't want anything to do with the truth because of the way that it was done. So this is what we want to talk about today. And I want to make sure, you know, that I drive this particular precept home and set up the proper expectations for the simple reason this is a common thing, you know, and I've had people to say, oh, no, I would never do that. And I'm like, there are some times when the scriptures permit us to do some things, and the Most High says he will not hold it against us because it's for somebody's salvation and for the kingdom's sake. So let me get my lesson here. And everything, we're going to be coming from the book of, let me see where I'm at here. One moment. Well, let's do our statement of faith, and then I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but we are going to, get into this word, okay? And, you know, and I want to read this entire chapter, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, but I'll make sure of that, okay? I want to read that entire chapter and go through it line by line so that we can get understanding of what the scriptures are telling us. And, you know, and walk accordingly to what's in the Word of the Most High, right? And so let's do our statement of faith. I wanted to set that up first before we ever even got started, set the premise up. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only name whereby men must be saved. We want to say greetings to those and happy Sabbath to those in North America, South America, the continent of Africa, the European theater, the Far East, Finland, and our newest listeners in Afghanistan. We pray your safety and strength in the Most High. Have the ladies to cover their heads. Men uncover. Let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Let me read this one over again because I believe I read this one wrong. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I always think that I read that wrong for some reason. I believe I'm chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise, for truly he is worthy, and we are still in the land of the living, able to give him a praise. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We just magnify and lift you up on today, oh Father. We glorify you, and we thank you for allowing us to live yet another day that we can worship you, another day that we can praise you, another day that we can lift you up, another day that we honor you, Father, another day that we have yet a chance to repent if we are walking not according to your word, Father. And we just glorify you for your mercy and for your grace and for your loving kindness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. There is none like you, Father. There is none like you. And we just glorify you on today and honor you in this your Sabbath, your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. So we just want to thank you, Most High Elohim, on today for being our Elohim, for taking the scales from our eyes, for loving us. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us. For they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our wicked ways and we're returning from our sins. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers and deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Mashiach, that they would hear your voice, come and obey, keep your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people, and thine inheritance which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt, from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim. And a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing and the understanding, and more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Sound the shofar.
You mean to me. check all my members, cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that you are the Redeemer, and they know you coming back.
I'm sorry, I was muted and didn't realize I'm sitting here talking, and good grief, just realized I was muted. Okay, so let us go to Romans chapter 14, the book of Romans chapter 14. And I'm going to unmute everybody because I want us to follow along with this, because as I was saying previously, a lot of times we offend people trying to keep the law. And I don't want anybody to get any notion that I'm telling people to break the law. Or that I don't want anybody getting the notion that I'm telling you to eat unclean and to break the dietary law. I'm not telling you to practice that. But the scripture does allow for exceptions. And it gives us the exception and the reason why. Okay. So we're going to read this. And I want, you know, I've taught this before, but we're at this point in the scriptures in discipleship, that I want to make sure that I cover this well. And that, you know, for any of those out there who listen online, whether, you know, in Pal Talk or Blog Talk, if you're with some other congregation that I've taught now or previously, and you have gone around and accused me of saying, oh, Brother Miles is teaching people to eat swine. He's teaching people to eat pork. Brother Miles is not doing that. So we want everything to be in context. Okay, context is very important. And what the scriptures tell us to do, you know, by us trying to be holier than thou or lawfuler than thou and prevent somebody from entering into the kingdom. And the Most High doesn't want that. He doesn't want that to happen. Okay, so he doesn't want us offending people for this reason. So we want to go through this. So Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith Yah, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to Elohim. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to Elohim. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. we don't want to put us, when I teach this chapter, you'll find out that this verse is saying a lot of things. Don't put a stumbling block in somebody's way. Okay? Because your brother or your sister, or, you know, I told you that the Most High said the wheat will grow up with the tares. And sometimes the tares choose to believe a lie, and the Most High will allow them to believe that lie. And Messiah doesn't want there to be any contention in his body. If you say, if they said it belonged to him, he don't want you arguing with them. He don't want you fighting with them. He don't want you having any, you know, being contentious with them. Because he's going to judge. Every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue shall give an account. And if they've been made to believe a lie, it doesn't really matter. You can't make them not believe it. Because it's done by the Most High. Okay, so he doesn't want that kind of contention. You know, you don't judge your brother. If you tell them the truth, and you know they've been taught the truth, and they refuse to believe it, and they're not doing anything so grievous that, you know, that we're supposed to walk away and put them out like the scriptures were saying last night. But they refuse to believe it, then he says he's going to judge them, not you or I. Okay? Now, if they're doing something really grievous, we judge them first, and then we do what? We reprove them. We try to correct them. And if it's real grievous, if it's a very serious thing, then we're to put them away from us. We're not to even eat with them. Okay? But we're talking about what we're getting ready to talk about now is not somebody that calls himself a brother or a sister in Messiah. We're going to be talking about that unbelieving person, that person that that has not heard the gospel, or they have not made up their mind, you know, they are of another faith, and you are dealing with them. Let's say you're dealing with them at work. I'm going to set a scenario here. You're dealing with them at work, you know, and y'all talk, y'all have, you know, decent conversations at work, and then they want you to come to their house for dinner. They invite you out. Okay, this is that scenario, and this is a scenario, kind of the scenario that the scriptures give to us when we get back there. But we want to understand that what the kingdom is not, because, you know, there are people who will cause somebody, they will offend someone for their righteousness and cause them not to want to hear the truth. And that's not supposed to be what we're about. We're supposed to be drawing people into the kingdom. We're supposed to be helping them in. You know, so we want to go over this situation that we're going to talk about today, okay? Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. And this is true. If you go back into Exodus and you look first after the flood, you will find that the Most High told Noah and his sons everything, all the animals were good for food, clean and unclean. Just as the herb of the field that he gave them, he said the meat, the animals would be for meat for them. And there was nothing unclean. They could eat it all. Okay, and then when it comes to him initiating with the nation of Israel, then he reinstates his, you're going to be around me? You're going to be in my service? Then there are some things I don't want you to do. And if you're going to be called my people and be sanctified to me, there are some things that are unclean to you. And you cannot eat them. So then they were unlawful for us at that point. Because why were they unclean and unlawful for us to eat? Because the Most High said they were unclean and unlawful for us to eat. Before they were unclean, it was still lawful to eat them. But now he establishes his priesthood. He says, okay, my priesthood can't eat these. Okay, so we got to understand that, you know, there's an evolution to this. There's an evolution. Okay, so the rest of the world still eating unclean. His priesthood, his people, his inheritance, no, you can't eat unclean. It's a law. So you meet somebody that is not part of his priesthood and not part of his people. And they may believe in the Most High in a way. They have, you know, they've heard or they believe in a higher power. You know how people are in the world. We got our own opinions and understandings. And you're talking to them at work. Okay? You're talking to them at the park. Maybe they're your neighbor. Maybe they're your brother or your blood brother or sister that just is not in truth. But you're not trying to force anything on them. You know, you're just having a conversation with them. Okay? There is nothing unclean in and of itself, but the Most High said, for my people, these things are unclean. Okay? And if you are coming into my kingdom, I have a dietary law. And if you're going to be close to me, you can't do these things. You can't eat these things. Okay? But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now, the Most High, and this is where I say some of these verses, what the Most High has shown me, they are also part of a test. Okay? They're part of a test. Just like he put a test in the Old Testament for Israel. I'm going to leave some of the people in the land. I'm not going to kill them all. Because I want to see if you're going to, when you meet up with these people, are you going to do what I said to do to them, one? Number two, if you don't do what I said to do to them, then are you going to follow them and their God? And it's a test. And there's a test in the New Testament. Okay, there's a test in the New Testament. Are you going to obey my voice? What's in your heart to really do? Because the Most High never gave his people a choice as to what was clean and what was not clean, as to what was sin and what was not sin. We don't get a choice. He defines all that for us. And we have to understand that. He defines it. So when you read in the scriptures, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean, you got to know that's a test. Why? Because the Most High never gave us a choice like that. And he never does it. Obey my voice. He never says, do what you think you want to do. Do what you think is best and what you esteem. But that's a whole other lesson, okay? That's why I said these scriptures are written in such a way to expose and reveal what's in your heart. If it's in your heart to do what you want to do, you'll read that right in these scriptures, and those scriptures will read that way to you. But when you know the Most High and you know how he operates, and you know he says, I change not. I don't change. And so then you'll know he never gave it, he never left this up to us. It was never our choice, what we esteem. It's not there. Okay. But if thy brother grieve with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Christ died, Messiah died for us all. He says, don't put a stumbling block in front of him. Don't destroy this person. And we're going to be talking about the unbeliever here. Because the believer should be walking in truth. And the believer, the true believer, should have the truth. But we know that there's a lot of people in this walk And we were at one time one of them that didn't have the truth. We had the word, but we didn't really have truth. We had the facts, but we didn't really have truth. Okay. So we're talking about we're going to be talking about the unbeliever, because this lesson for what I would call the saints and those people who have an understanding already, it'd be a different lesson. Okay. Different expectation. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of Elohim is not meat and drink. That's not what it's about. It's not how you get into it. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost of the Ruach HaKodesh. So I want us to understand that the kingdom and getting into the kingdom is not meat and drink. That's not the main focus. And so when you are trying to help somebody get into it, don't let meat and drink be something that caused you to run somebody away from the kingdom. And I'm gonna give you the proper filter and the proper scenario as the scripture gives it, so we can understand what we are at liberty to do and what we are not at liberty to do. But our main focus as disciples is to spread the gospel and to help people into the kingdom. And if we are offending them because of our people skills or lack thereof, or we're so afraid that if we do something, we don't know what's permissible and what's not, and what circumstances, okay, it's permissible and what circumstances it's not. So we have to walk in truth, okay? And that's what this lesson is really about. Because we don't want to be running people away from the kingdom before they ever even heard the gospel. Before you had a chance to explain it to them because you offended them. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat of that spiritual meat. That spiritual meat, you're going to find out, was Christ. Okay, and Christ is what? The power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. That's what Christ really means. That's what that title stands. It's anointed. But it really is the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. Okay. And so they were eating from that spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ or Mashiach. But with many of them, Elohim was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know how they rebelled. Now these things were our examples, and we got to take heed to this. They were written, the stories, the accounts, are written for our examples. And so we have to pay attention. To the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. As I said yesterday or the day before or whatever it was, we should not be making the same mistakes that our forefathers made, especially if it was written. It's been written for our edification so that we know what to do and what not to do. So let's look at some of these examples. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. they really made merry and partied and all that went along with that. Okay. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000 or 23,000 in one day fornicating. You know, having sex outside of marriage, and this is, you know, while Moses is up on the mountain. Neither let us tempt Christ or Mashiach, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. They murmured and what? Complained. How come you brought us out to this desert, into this wilderness? Ain't no water here. Ain't no lights, no onions, no any of this stuff. They always were complaining about what they had in Egypt. And were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happen unto them for ensamples or examples. And they are written for our admonishment, so that we know what not to do. And it doesn't have to be exactly what they did, but in the spirit of what they did, it was rebellion against the Most High. It was complaining about what he had them going through. Okay. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. There is no temptation that has taken you that ain't taken somebody else. And the thing about temptation is you can't be tempted by something that you don't want. If you don't smoke cigarettes, can't nobody tempt you with a cigarette. If you don't drink alcohol, can't nobody tempt you with alcohol. If you don't desire something, can't nobody tempt you with it. So you can only be tempted with what's in you. And these things is common to be in men. It's common with the flesh. It's common with the mind. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You ain't the only one going through it. You ain't the only one that's been there. We got to understand that. But Elohim is faithful, and who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. That means that all you got to do is look for the way. You don't have to go through with it. There's a way out. There's a way to say no. There's a way to, you know, he's going to make a way for you to come out of it and not have to actually do it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to wise men. Judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Mashiach or Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And that's why I said, you know, we have to discern. You know, people do communion. And he says, hey, don't treat this like a meal. Don't treat it like a party. Mashiach's body was broken for you. Remember how he suffered. Remember that his blood was shed for you. And why it was shed. And why his body was broken. Remember that he died. Who thinks about somebody being broken and blood shed and died with joy? Oh, I'm so thankful that you died for me. That's not a joyous thing. It's a solemn thing. It's a serious thing for somebody to lay down their life for you. So we got to understand, we got to discern these things. And we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Now he's just simply saying, because we are partakers of the blood and the body of Christ, and we are part of that body, then we are one bread and one blood. Just as he said, we are supposed to be one, many members in one body. It's another way of saying it. Behold Israel after the flesh, or look at Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now, you know, when you go back and you study the sacrifices, the priesthood was required to eat certain of those offerings, and they partook of the altar, you know, the heave shoulder and the wave breast and whatever else part of those sacrifices that they were required to eat right there. Okay. Why say I then that the idol is anything? Now, we're talking about idols. And I want us to understand, if you are a true believer and you understand that all other things that are worshiped other than the Most High are false, they don't really exist, or they are false Elohims. Okay? They don't really mean anything. They don't really have any power. So they're really, if you think about it, they're nothing. Oh, you say you're a god? You say your god is a god, and you bow down to him, and his name is Buddha or Hindu or whatever they want to call him, whatever religion or belief they're in, you know that they are not the true and living Elohim. They are an idol that somebody has chosen to worship, whether it's a tree, an ashtray, whatever. Okay? We say then that the idol is anything, or that which is offered as sacrifice to idols is anything. This is a question. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? If you know the truth and you know that that idol is nothing, it's fake, it's false, and something was sacrificed to it, you know, they sacrificed it to nothing. So even the sacrifice is what? Really nothing. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Elohim. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Now, a devil is just, it's evil, but it's false. And it's nothing. You cannot drink the cup of Yah and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table or Yah's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke Yah to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Now, this is if you believe that that idol is a god. In your heart, something was sacrificed to a god, and you believe that it's a real god. Then he says, you are really sacrificing to devils. But you're going to read that they're really nothing. They don't exist. They're not real. Okay, and there's a certain mind frame that you take on. So if the person believes that this idol is real and that it's a god, or if you believe that the idol is real, it's a god, then it's really just a devil. And it's something to draw you away from the Most High and to make the Most High, let's say, jealous, because you're worshiping something other than him. You're making him angry is what you're doing. Okay? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. In other words, what he's trying to say here, if that's nothing, and we're going to read this in a second, we don't want to eat something sacrificed to an idol if we believe that that idol is really a god. Because then we're eating something sacrificed to another god, but it's not God, no matter how we believe it, and it's as to a devil. Okay? Let no man seek his own, but every man his another's wealth. whatsoever is sold in the shambles. The shambles is the local market. That eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, I want you to underline that. That eat, asking no question for conscience sake. You somewhere, let's say that you are an evangelist or you are, you know, an apostle, or you're out somewhere and you, let's say you go to a strange land and you got to eat and you go into the marketplace and a lot of animals, you know, depending upon the size of it, it gets louder. You may not know what it is. You may not know what it is. And he's saying, hey, whatsoever is sold in the shambles of the market, that eat. You don't want to practice eating unclean, but you can't really tell what it is. He says, asking no question. Why? For your conscience sake. Why are you going to be sitting here upset and bothered that you know, you may be eating something unclean and you don't even know what it is? It could be clean, it could be unclean. You don't know. He says, and if you don't know, don't even ask the question for your own conscience. For the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not, now this is where we want to get into the meat of this. He sort of set this up. Okay, and he's going to, and some of the things that I have said, he's going to explain in these next verses. You don't, and I want to make sure this is clear, you don't want to eat anything. If you believe something, that an idol is a god, first you got a problem. I'm just going to say it like that. You got a problem. But if you believe that, then you should not eat anything sacrificed to it because you believe it's a god. Okay? But if you know that idol is nothing and it's fake, you're actually free to eat because what they actually sacrifice to is nothing. But you wouldn't want them to see it. And the scripture is going to go into this. Okay? These verses are going to go into this. And I want us to understand. Okay? If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast. So we're talking about not non-believers. Unbelievers. Okay? And you be disposed to go. This word disposed is you want to go. So I'm giving you a scenario. You got a good friend at work. You know they're not in the truth. But y'all still good friends. Y'all talk and laugh and joke and do whatever at work. And y'all been talking about, you know, religion in the Bible. And you've been trying to, you know, get them to come into the kingdom. And you are, you know, some of these, it's just not cut and dry. It's, you know, you just don't pound somebody upside the head with the scriptures, or you don't try to stuff it down their throat. But you know, you're not trying to force them into anything. You're talking with them and you're telling them how you live, what you believe. And you develop that friendship and they invite you to dinner. They invite you to a barbecue. Okay? And you want to go. That's what this word dispose means. You want to go. Whatsoever is set before you, eat. This is a non-believer. They don't believe in Elohim, the Elohim you believe in. They don't know anything about the dietary laws. They don't know anything about your culture because you haven't told them. Now I'm setting up the scenario. Y'all just talking at work and you tell them you believe in the Most High Elohim. You know, and yeah, I'm a Hebrew Israelite if you tell them that, but I pray that you don't tell them that anymore, especially if they're a Gentile. Now, if they're not a Gentile and you want to tell a brother or a sister by blood, by ethnicity, hey, do you know who you are? And you can do that, okay? But the Gentiles, we're not supposed to be saying, hey, you know, I'm a Hebrew Israelite. Because it actually profanes the name of the Most High. Okay. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, and ask no questions. for conscience sake. Some scenario is, this is your friend at work, and I'm saying this is your friend at work, because surely if a stranger come up to you and say, hey, you want to come to a barbecue, you're not just going to accept. But you know, you got a friend at work, and y'all been talking, and y'all get along well. And they say, hey, we're having a cookout. Why don't you come? And you want to go. And in this scenario that I'm giving you, you haven't told them that you keep the dietary laws. Okay? Hasn't been discussed. Because it's going to make a difference. And it makes a difference in motivation. Whatsoever is set before you, eat. That's not the words of Brother Miles. That is the word of the Most High. Whatever is set before you, eat, and ask no questions for conscience sake. Why? They invited you to dinner. You wanted to go, a cookout or whatever, and you wanted to go. Y'all haven't had a conversation about what you can and cannot eat. Now, if it's not going to make you sick, literally, and you haven't told them, then eat it. Don't even ask. You wanted to be there. You accepted. They took the time to prepare it. Don't offend them. Oh, no. I'm not going to eat. You unclean heathens. Now, surely you're not going to say that to their face, not then. But you haven't had this conversation, because I'm just telling you that there's a difference here. You did inform them, hey, I don't eat this. Before time, so that they know. They don't know. That's the scenario I'm setting up with you. They don't know. They invited you. Y'all have never had this conversation about what you can and cannot eat. Because of the law, I'm not going to say for health reasons. Because, you know, if you're allergic to peanut butter, no, I don't want you to go and eat peanut butter because they gave you peanut butter and you know it's going to make you swell up and your throat swell up and you can't breathe. That's a whole different scenario. But the scripture says, you want to go and whatsoever is set before you. Whatsoever means whatsoever. Eat. Ask no questions for conscious sake, for your own conscious sake. You wanted to be there. You accepted. Now, they didn't put something down in front of you. You might even know what it is. Pray over it. Ask Elohim to sanctify it. And I'll show you the scriptures where you can do that. Ask Elohim to bless it and go ahead and eat it. Why? Because you don't want to offend this person. Verse 28. Here's the exception. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. They bless the food and they bless the food to Buddha or something, somebody other than the Most High. Somebody other than Mashiach. And that's not okay, because they believe in this other God. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not. Why? For his sake that showed it. And for conscience sake, for your own conscience sake. For the earth is Yah's and the fullness thereof. Don't eat it for his sake because he believes that he sacrificed this to a real God and you know that it's an idol. It ain't a real God. It's not the Most High. Then you don't eat it. Because you know, wait a minute, you just blessed that in the name of even Allah. You blessed that in the name of Muhammad. You blessed that in the name of Krishna or whoever. No, I can't eat that. Can't eat it then. Why? Verse 29. Conscious, I say, not thine own. Not your own conscience, because you know that it's a, that an idol is nothing. Hey, you blessing that stuff to that idol. And I know that that idol is really nothing, but however you believe it's something. You believe it's real. And it's not real. So let's read this. I want you to get an understanding in this area. Conscience, I say, not thine own. Not your own conscience, but the other person's conscience. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? You are free to actually eat that, but not for your own conscience sake, but for his conscience sake, you can't. Because then now he's going to believe that you agree. And you're not in agreement with them. Okay? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? You gave thanks over, you asked Most High to bless it, but now this person has told you that this was sacrificed to an idol. And because they believe it's an idol, they believe it's a god, you're not free to eat it now. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of Elohim. Give none offense. And that's what we're talking about. Give none offense. You don't want to just offend them. If they didn't bless it and you bless it, you're good to go. If they bless it to an idol, you're not good to go. Neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church. Even as I please all men in all things, neither seek my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So you go to their house. You go to the barbecue. A lot of people don't even pray over their food. Nobody prays over the food. You don't hear nobody saying it was offered to an idol. They set it down before you. You pray over it. You bless it. He says, don't even ask what it is for your own conscience sake in this case. But now, different scenario. Y'all sit down to eat, and then they pray over it. And they pray over it and pray and bless it to somebody else other than the Most High. Then now you cannot eat of it. You cannot take your liberty and eat it, bless it, overbless it and say, oh, well, I'm going to bless it anyway and eat. Because number one, if they blessed it, then they really believe in what they say they believe in. They believe that, we're just going to say Buddha for right now, for the name of in this example. They believe Buddha is a god. And if you overbless their blessing, you had just offended them. And now you cannot talk to them about coming into the kingdom. You can't convince them otherwise. If they are blessing it to something else, they already believe in something. And they bless it to that, then you can't eat it. You know that what they're blessing it to is not a god. But you can't eat it. Because they believe it's a god, then it's a devil. You know it's not a god, but they believe it. And if you partake of it, then you are partaking in agreement with them. And you are only allowed to worship what? One Elohim. The true and living Elohim. So for their conscience sake, Then you say, well, I can't partake of that. Well, why? Because it's been blessed to a God that I don't worship, and I can't do that. My God doesn't allow me to do that. Now, might they be offended? Yes, they might. They might be. But in that case, it's better that they be offended because they know that they're offended because of your God. Because they have blessed it, and you cannot take part in it. And they told you, yeah, we blessed this, or you heard them, yeah, we blessed this, and we dedicated it to whomever or whatever. And your liberty is now gone. Had you never heard that or seen that, then you were supposed to, whatever they sat in front of you, I mean, provided you could summon, maybe they sat a bat in front of you, be like, oh no, I don't care. No, I just ain't eating that. And they would know that, hey, probably in that case, yeah, you know, we should have asked you, or we should have told you, or we did it for shock value. So we're talking about the person that you have not had the conversation with. They don't know that you keep the dietary laws. They invite you to dinner. You accept. They prepare the food. You get there. You don't hear them blessing it to anything or anyone. Hey, let's sit down and eat. Then you bless it. Bless it in the name of Yah. Ask him to sanctify it. Says, don't even think about what it is. Just eat. But y'all sit at the table, and then they bless it to whomever, and it's not the most time, then now you're not at liberty to eat because you're not at liberty to take part in their worship of their God and any foods dedicated to their God. And y'all been talking about, you know, religion and the Most High and these types of things. You say, hey, I'm sorry, but I just can't take part in that. My God is a jealous God. And I don't mean to offend you, but no, I can't do that. It's not good for me. Different scenario. Now, let's say you've had the conversation with them. You've been talking with them, you know, to them about the scriptures, and you tell them, hey, you know, I keep the dietary law. I don't eat, you know, these things, you know, and it might have happened over time. They might be like, hey, what kind of sandwich you got there? Oh, I got a chicken sandwich. What kind of sandwich you got? Oh, man, it's a pork chop sandwich. Oh, yeah, I can't, you know, I'm not allowed to eat swine. I'm not allowed to eat pork. Oh, why not? Well, you know, the dietary laws in my religion, the Most High prevents us from eating pork or catfish or any of these things like this. You don't have to go, you know, do a litany, the list, but there are animals that are unclean to us and we're not allowed to eat them. Then they invite you to a cookout. They invite you to a barbecue. And the person that invites you then puts some pork in front of you. Then you are not obligated to eat. Why? Because you've already told them ahead of time, I don't eat pork. So why would you put pork in front of me? I don't eat pork, and then they try to hide it in a dish. But they know the pork is in the dish, and they know you don't eat it. And they still try to get you to eat it, then there's something wrong there. Then you can be offended. You know I don't eat pork. So why would you try to give it to me? Then you can be offended at them. Because then they're being disingenuous. You know, if they say, oh, I forgot. If they truly forgot, that's one thing. If they convince you that, yeah, they truly forgot, then you're going to have to look at it and judge it by that and take their word for it. Just say, hey, you know, I just can't partake. I don't eat that. And I told you ahead of time. That's a whole different scenario because you told them. And they still tried to, you know, give it to you. That's a whole completely different scenario. Then y'all never had the conversation. They are ignorant. They don't know. Then you're to bless it and eat so that you don't offend them. Because our thing is not to offend. Give none offense. Verse 32. Give none offense, neither to Jews nor to Gentiles, nor to the church of Elohim. We're not to be walking around, you know, just offending people. And so there, it takes some doing on our part. If you're not allergic to pork or you're not allergic to shrimp and you didn't tell them and you accept it, they sit it in front of you, bless it and eat. You're not going to die. And the Most High says he will sanctify it. Let me find that verse for us so we know. But we're not going to sit here and practice eating unclean. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you for the kingdom's sake and for their conscience sake and your conscience sake that if you find yourself in this scenario, then you got to weigh all the things. Did we have this conversation? Do they know I don't eat like this? No, they don't. I didn't have this conversation, so I'm going to bless it. And I'm going to eat around that stuff that I don't want to, you know. You might even pick at it, but what you don't want to do is offend them. Because you're still trying to win them to the kingdom. But if y'all had the conversation and they do that, then no. I told you I don't eat that. If you sit down at the table and then they bless the food and they bless it to somebody other than the Most High, then no, for their conscience sake. You know, I respect your belief, but there's only one living Elohim, and that's what you've got to always stick with. There's only one. And he just so happens to be the one that I'm worshiping. However you have to say it. And it may even just start, you know, a heated debate. But you just remain calm. Because sometimes people, if you are calm and if you don't appear to be attacking and you're not trying to offend them, they may get curious as to why you believe what you believe and allow you to further the conversation. And if you can't handle those things, then maybe you should not accept dinner or to go to their house to eat. Because everybody can't do it. What the scriptures are saying, I know everybody can't do it. But you have to be what I'm going to call a true evangelist or a true fisherman. You got to be mature. Because the saint that's still on milk, they won't understand this. They won't understand the rationale behind it. I thought you said, and that's as far as their conscience will let them go. But we just read a scenario. You had an unbeliever invite you to dinner or to a feast, to a cookout, and you wanted to go. You were disposed to go. Did nobody make you go? You wanted to go. And you show up there. And as long as you don't hear them dedicate this food to an idol, then you bless it and keep it moving. And I'm going to have to find these verses that tell you that, you know, an idol is nothing. And we're, and if we are, it may even be in chapter 9, that when we ourselves, if we are mature, if we have understanding, that we understand that an idol is nothing. It's a false god. It doesn't really, it's nothing. It's not real. Okay? And if we eat the food knowing that it's nothing, then we're at liberty to do that. But if one of those believers see it and question, hey, do you know that's dedicated to an idol? To our God? Then they might think, and you say yes, then they might think that you think that their God is God. And then now we got a problem. So I will find those verses so that, you know, maybe I'll do that part, portion of this in the morning so that we understand that it's about your mentality, your understanding, where you're at, your maturity in the word, your maturity in your walk, and what the Most High doesn't want us doing. He doesn't want us to give anybody offense if we can help it. Whether they're in the church, whether they're amongst our brothers and sisters, or whether they are in the body of Messiah, or they're Gentiles. Because see, you can go amongst your own people and they don't keep the dietary laws. We just call them the Jews, the Hebrew Israelites. They're not in truth. They don't keep the dietary law. They're cooking, you know, still cooking and eating just like they were the day when you were born into the family and before you came into truth. They're still doing all those same things. That would be the Jews in those, in that scripture. Okay. But they're still eating unclean and you don't want to offend them. But if they know, if they're family and they know you don't eat unclean, then you just tell them, you know I don't eat that. We've had this conversation, so no, I'm not eating those pork ribs. No, I'm not eating that barbecue shrimp. Because you know, your family, but you expect me to still partake. I don't eat that way. And you're still my family. I want to, you know, don't just want to just totally blow you off. You know, we have a good relationship. We just don't believe the same way. And you can have relationships to that level. But they know, hey, I don't partake in these things. And if it's a problem, because a lot of the times it becomes a problem, they still want you to do the same things you used to do. Now they're offended because you're not taking part in it. And yeah, you probably want to avoid then. Because it's not fruitful. They know where you're at, you know where they're at, and they're not trying to enter into the kingdom. They're not trying to serve the Most High and keep His statutes, His laws, and His commandments. They know what you're about. It's a completely different scenario. Completely different. So you don't want to offend them, but, you know, they know. Now, if they don't know, because you ain't talked to them or you don't tell them, y'all don't have that type of relationship, and then you choose to go, hey, we having a barbecue. We ain't seen you in a minute. Why don't you come? And you go. They don't know your life. They don't know that you know about you. Then they're just like this unbeliever that don't know you. Don't offend them. You chose to go, and you know that if you don't eat, Mama Cece gonna be upset. Well, baby, why you not eating? You ain't never told them. Then bless it and eat. But don't use that as an excuse, you know, to try to, you know, third or fourth time, second time. You have to tell them. They're ignorant. They're ignorant of your lifestyle. Hey, I don't eat that stuff. Tell them before time. Don't get there and say, oh, no, I can't eat that. Because, yeah, they're going to get offended. If you tell them before time, hey, I no longer eat, you know, shrimp, you know, mama going to cook these things? You going to cook that? Yeah, baby, you know I'm going to cook that. But, mom, I don't eat that no more. Can you make me something else? Can you make me this? Or I'll bring a dish for myself. Because you're setting it up ahead of time. And you're setting the expectation so that there is no contention. And by you saying that you don't eat those things any longer, when you get there, you know, if you you got to still try to maintain, because you got to still try to maintain a good relationship with your family. Sometimes it's possible, sometimes it's not possible. And I realize that. But a lot of times it's not possible because of the way that we came off. We got some knowledge. We want to show what we've learned. And instead of doing it from the position of love, and setting the scenario, setting the expectation, you know, we just, no, I don't eat that stuff. It's unclean. It ain't this for you no more. You know, a lot of the times people will accept something. You say it's for health reasons. Oh, no, I can't eat that no more for health reasons. They'll accept it like that. But we don't want to lie to them. No, I don't eat that stuff anymore for religious reasons. Because the Bible says, and the Most High says, that we're not supposed to eat that. And I'm trying to walk closer to my Elohim, closer to my God. So I don't eat those things anymore. Oh, child, you know that stuff is only in the Old Testament. That's where you got to know your word to show them no. It's still here in the New Testament, too. Well, see right here, it says, let nobody judge you in meats and drinks and Sabbaths and all this. If you don't really know the scriptures, they might make you back up. They might make you seem like you don't have a leg to stand on. Because it says it right there. If you don't understand the wording and what Messiah did, so that you can explain it to them, because you take that as a teaching opportunity. If they bring scripture to you, then you got to come back with scripture. Now here's the thing. If they bring you New Testament, you can't fight them with Old Testament. You can't debate them with Old Testament. Why? Because in their mind, it's not applicable. This is just the way it is. It's not applicable in their mind. So how are you going to debate them? You got to come from the New Testament as well, which means you got to know it. You have to know it. You can set up the premise, hey, the Elohim, hey, didn't God say, and I'm just going to use the normal nomenclature that our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters would use. Don't God say in the scripture that he doesn't change? Well, yeah, I remember hearing that. He said he don't change. Well, when we look at this, if we go into, I said, I'm just going to take you to the Old Testament to set the foundation, and I'm going to show you in the New Testament how this applies. And you're going to have to use the New Testament to make your point. But you can use the Old Testament to show them that he was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He don't change. But you cannot come at them strictly with the Old Testament. Because they'd be like, that ain't for the saints. That ain't for today. We've heard it before. I know we've all heard this before. So you got to be able to come to them and be able to teach them. If the teaching moment comes up, if it makes itself available, if you remain humble, don't be offended. Because you know that just like you, they're following what they were taught. And you and I did it until the Most High opened our eyes. So then you got to be able to bring it to them and show them and step them through it. And they may not get it the first time, but you just lay the foundation. You just drop the seed. You plow the ground. Somebody else will come and drop the seed. You know, my daughter or my son was saying something about that. I ain't understand what they was talking about, but maybe it's something to it. And they are open to it because you didn't offend them. You didn't offend them in it. And so when we walk the way that the Most High says, it's part of our discipleship. When we walk humbly and meek, and we don't try to stuff this down somebody's throat, then we have an opportunity to bring them into the kingdom, to bring them into truth. If we understand as disciples, we're not to offend. We're not to you know, do anything that we're not permitted to do. So I told you, hey, we bless this in the name of Krishna. Hinky dinky doo. Let's eat. Oh no. I can't eat that. Why? Because you blessed it in the name of Krishna. And I'm only allowed to eat what's blessed in the name of my God. And I can't re-bless this. Now, are they offended? Yeah, but they're offended for the right reason. And you're obligated to do that. Can't just say, oh, well, I'll just quietly bless it in the name of the Most High, and I'll go ahead and eat with them. Scriptures tell you, you're not to eat with them for their conscience sake. You cannot agree with them in any kind of way that the God that they're serving is God. Can't lead them that way, that it's okay. If you don't hear no such thing, then you bless it in the name of the Most High. Don't even ask what it is and eat. That's the word. Don't offend them unless they do something that you just cannot do. You just cannot do it because the word says you can't do it. So if you are going to put yourself in these situations, let's say that you are trying to evangelize, and you're trying to evangelize at work. You got friends at work, and y'all talk, and then you need to make sure, you need to make sure that you have these conversations. That you tell them, they invite you to dinner. And before you accept, you say, hey, are you cooking any pork? I can't have pork. Are you cooking whatever? I can't have that. Oh, don't worry. We'll cook something that what can you eat? Oh, well, I can have some lamb. Or I have some fish or some chicken. Some deer. I mean, it's not so restrictive that you can't name a bunch of food. I just can't have that pork or that catfish. Oh, well, we're having this type of fish. Does it have scales? Does it have fins? Oh, I can eat that. Oh, no, it don't have scales or fins. I can't eat that. No matter what kind it is, I know I can't eat that. Well, why? Because it's part of my dietary law that the Most High says we're not allowed to eat that. Oh, okay. Well, you still want to come? Are you going to be able to cook something that I can eat? Yeah, we'll take care of it. We'll handle it. We'll cook some. We'll put some chicken on for you. We'll put it on a separate side of the grill. All right, cool. Because they have an understanding. Now you still got your friendship, and you still are able to witness to them. Now if the conversation goes sideways, like, "What are you cooking?" And they say, "Oh, we're having pork chops. We're having pork ribs." "Oh no, I can't eat that." "Why not?" "Oh, you one of them." Then I would just not. I would just say, you know, no, I can't accept. You know, I like you, but this is going to mess with our friendship. And no, I don't want to offend you, so maybe we'll just go out to lunch at a restaurant and I can order what I want. Now, if they're not so solely offended because, you know, you didn't want to come and eat their pork chops or their pork ribs, because there are people that are like that. You know, they pride themselves on their pork ribs or their grilling skills, and they don't believe that you shouldn't be able to eat whatever you want to eat. And they take it personal. Then yeah, you shouldn't. You should just, you know, bow out. No, that's okay. I will. I can't do that. Okay. You got to always try to put yourself in a position where you are not offending. You know, different scenario. Same person at work. They invite you to, you know, to a barbecue, a feast, or whatever. And you're like, "Nah, y'all Gentiles, y'all just unclean. Everything y'all eat, y'all sacrifice it to devils. And nah, I just can't partake of that stuff. I can't do it." That would not be the right way to come off. Then you surely just offended them. Was not the right way, was not the right tactic to use. So we got to always be mindful of these things. Got to always be mindful. And if you know that they believe a certain way and they are, and you know that they're a praying person, then you already know that they are dedicating whatever they are praying over to whoever and whatever they are praying to. Then ahead of time, you can just say, "No, I can't do that. You know, maybe we can go to lunch and we'll go to a restaurant." Then they're praying over their food and you're praying over your own. Different, you go to their house and they have slaved over it. Their spouse has slaved over it. And then you reject it out of nowhere. They're going to be offended. "Well, you didn't tell me you couldn't eat this. You didn't tell me that, you know, this would be a problem. Or else I would have made something else for you." I'd have made sure there was something else here for you to eat because I really wanted you to come. So we don't want to be offensive. And like I said, the scriptures tells us, if they sacrificed it, and they say, we sacrificed this, and a lot of times that's a prayer, okay? They pray over it. We, you know, anything that you kill or is killed for your eating, it sacrifices life. Maybe you didn't kill it, but somebody killed it. When it comes in front of you for consumption, you have to know that chicken died. Its life was sacrificed for you. You got to know that deer or that lamb, it died. Its life was sacrificed for you. And when you pray over it, you're really praying for it and presenting it to the Most High and asking Him to make it acceptable and acceptable for you, to sanctify it. So there is, you know, it is important that you pray over your food and you bless it. But according to the scriptures, if they tell you that it was sacrificed to an idol, and, or you hear them pray over it and they pray over it and bless it, to some other Elohim other than yours, if they say Jesus or Yah or Yahshua or any of the other names that we use for the Most High, you're good to go. Because we don't really want to argue about the name. But if you know that they're blessing it and praying over it and blessing it to something other than the Most High, and it's an idol, it's false. Because anything other than the Most High is false. Trust that. You have to understand that and believe that. Anything else that somebody would bless something in is false. And if you have grown up in the Word and you're mature, then you understand it is nothing. You just bless that to nothing. You don't say that to them. You could if y'all close. If you want to fight, you know, you want an argument, hey, you just blessed that to nothing because what you just blessed it to don't exist. And I have to find that tonight so I can bring it to you in the morning so you have understanding that I'm not just speaking my own words, but it's coming from the scriptures. And I should have already had this. But, as I said, somebody ran through the fence and then I was in panic mode. So, any questions on this? Because your phones are open. So if you got a question, you got a comment, just press the number one. Because I know you were taught contrary. No questions?
I have a question, Brother Miles.
Go ahead, my sister. And this is Sister Rachel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
So, my question is, there's been lots of times, you know, my mother, you know, she would cook, like, you know, cook her food. This particular time, she had cooked some greens. Smoked turkey leg, some kind of meat in there, in her greens. And I said, at the time, I didn't ask what was it. She just said, go and get you some greens. So then, like, oh, okay. Then Obadiah, in it, she might have pork, or she, you don't know what kind of meat she put in there. So I was like, well, Mom, what kind of meat is she put in there? I think It was some kind of meat, but it was, you know, I think it was like something that had to do with that. And she was like, oh, well, you know what you do with that? All you got to do is just, you know, pray over it. And I was like, if it's something there, we can't eat that, Mom. I said, you can't eat that. Well, that's y'all's Bible. That's y'all's. God said, don't call anything unclean. You know, she, with them Sunday church folks, wanted like to take that verse, call anything that, verse is that.
Now, okay, so is your question how you should handle that?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I would say it goes back to what we've already talked about. Had you previously had the conversation with your mother about how you eat? And that would be a yes or a no. If you have not had the conversation,
if you haven't had that
conversation with her, but you know how she cooks, because she's your mother, so you should know. I know how my mother made her greens. I know what meat she put in there too.
Yeah.
Then I would say that before you even went, you know, you have to have that conversation with your mother that, well, Mom, you know, I've changed my life, and I just don't eat that way anymore, and I don't eat that way for this reason. Now, whether she accepts your reason or not, it's not important. What's important is that you, what, told her, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she knows.
So then if you go to dinner and she's cooked, because that's the way she cooks, and she knows that, you know, you don't eat that kind of meat anymore, that you don't eat unclean, then, and she still expects you to eat, then you just, you know, you're at liberty to say, hey, I've already told, we had this discussion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, you know, I already told you that we don't eat this way. If she's offended at that point, there's really nothing you can do with that. She's offended because she was trying to still make you eat the way she knows you don't eat. Now, let's flip this around. You didn't have that conversation with her. She don't know that you don't eat this stuff anymore, that you're observing the dietary laws. Y'all get there, and she puts it on your plate, or you put it on your plate. The scripture says, you bless it and don't even ask. Because you accepted the invitation. Now, what do you do after that? You find some time to talk with your mom and say, hey, you know, I love your greens, but I can't eat pork anymore. So if you make greens and you put pork in it, I'm not going to be eating them. Does this make sense?
I understand. And my mom, she knows that, you know, she knows that we don't eat like that. We've been telling her this for years and years and years, and she just, she has not
gone
attitude.
But it upsets her if you don't eat, or she still expects you to eat it anyway when you come? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of in a way, yeah.
Wait a minute.
After
what's kind of in a way? I need precision here. I can't give you a kind of answer. Okay. If she knows that you don't eat that way and she does it anyway, then she is actually disrespecting you and your beliefs. And then you only have one or two choices. You either don't go say, Mom, I can't come because you cook this way and you get upset when I don't eat it. And I don't want to upset you. I don't want to offend you. Well, I'm offended because you're not coming. Well, Mom, you can't have it both ways. She's accountable too. Can't have it both ways. If you want me to come and eat, or I'll bring my own greens. Well, babe, well, I spent all this time cooking. I cook for y'all. But, Mama, we don't eat that way. Not that we don't eat greens, but we can't eat it with that ham hock in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once you tell her that, you've set the expectation. And if she still refuses, then, you know, then now you have to either decide, well, I'm not going to, I don't want to go. Because it's only going to cause problems, and she's going to want us to eat what we don't eat, and that's going to be a big argument, and she's going to be upset. And then, or she's going to be upset because you won't come. Because you, then you're kind of between a rock and a hard spot.
Mm.
But then you can't love your mother more than you love the Most High.
Right.
So you can't, you know, once you have told her and she knows and she refuses to mend her way, she won't cook different. She won't say, okay, I got a pot of greens over here for us and I got a pot of greens over here for you. So y'all get y'all's out of there and we're going to eat ours out of here. If she's not willing to do that, then more than likely you have to refuse to go.
Right.
And then, you know, that causes a whole nother problem. So, yeah, you are obligated. You know, if you didn't ever tell her and you showed up for dinner and you know the way your mama cooks and you didn't tell her, then what do you expect? Don't get there and say, well, no, we can't eat those because they got pork in them. You should have said, no, we're not coming because, Mama, you cook with pork and we don't eat pork anymore.
Right.
So you don't want to offend her that way. You got there. You didn't tell her. Go ahead, pray over it and eat. Then have that conversation with her. Mama, you know, we don't eat this stuff like this anymore. You know, the Most High says don't eat it. It's not good for your health. You know, however you got to justify it. But you got to set the expectation. And you want to do it in a non-offensive way. It's just a matter of fact, we just don't eat that way anymore.
Right.
And this is why. And if she don't want to accept, you know, well, that's your Bible, you read. Well, pull out your Bible, Mama. And let me show you in your Bible, because I said people will cherry pick scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't explain it from the New Testament, most New Testament believers won't accept it. That's why you have to be able to fight from the old and the new.
Right.
If they call themselves to be Bible thumpers and they know their scripture, that means that you have to know it better. And you have to be able to take them to more than one place and show them. And trust me, it's not something that typically they will change overnight. But when
right.
you introduce them to it, and as long as you stay faithful, then when you introduce it to them and you, you know, take the time to explain it to them and show them in the Word, then now it's up to the Most High to do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You can't show them anything He don't want them to see. If He don't want them to see it, you can't make them see it. If He don't want them to believe it, you can't make them believe it. You just show them and then say, okay, you know, you my mama, I love you, but I just can't eat like that. I won't eat like that for these reasons. And if you invite me to dinner and I accept, then I'm going to have to bring my own greens. Or, Mama, you have to cook me a special pot of greens. Well, baby, I really want you to come over, you and the family. So I'll make a pot for you and I'll make a pot for us. Or I'll just make cook it this way now. Because having you over is more important than this meat that's in here. You don't never know what she might say. You know, she might say, oh, that's your book. Okay. Well, Mama, if you cook it like that, I don't want to offend you, but we're not going to eat it. And if it becomes too much of a problem, then, you know, my husband and my children don't want to come because they don't want to be harped on because they're not eating the food when you already know that we don't eat it this way anymore. Then you've done what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And she's accountable for, you know, her actions. So I would say, you know, if she knows that you don't eat that way and she still want to insist that you come and when you come you eat her food because that's the way she cooks it, then you might have to offend your mother in the fact that you say, hey, we can't come.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
okay.
You know, you laid it out there. You told her the truth.
Right.
And she don't want to accept it or, you know, I'm not changing the way I cook for nobody. Then there's consequences, you know, everybody's got the consequences of their what? Actions.
All right.
So you would have to, you know, that's your decision, Mama, now. You sure about that? Because I can't, you know, I can't eat that any longer for religious reasons because Mosai says, we can't eat it, so we don't eat it. And she don't want to accept that. That's your God. That's your Bible. Then she's sort of putting it like, well, you serving a different God than me.
Pretty much.
Then you just show her in the scriptures and you have to leave it alone. It's the same God. How come he's saying this to you and he's saying this to me? He's not a God. He's not an Elohim of confusion. But she's doing what she was taught. And a lot of the times, it's hard to just let that go. So it's all about, a lot of time it's all about your attitude and your mentality when you, you know, when you approach her or confront her with this like that. It has to be from love and it has to be, you know, genuine. It has to be to show her that you're not trying to offend her. You just don't eat that way anymore for these reasons. And then she either has to accept that or reject it. That's all you can do.
Right.
So I hope that answers your question or gives you a different approach or what have you.
Right.
All right, amen.
Yes, it has.
All right, amen. Any other questions? Comments? Complaints? All right, amen. Because we want to, as part of our discipleship, we don't want to be offensive. But, you know, especially who people, like we were talking about unbelievers tonight, but your mama is a believer. She believes, you know, she knows the Bible. She's quoting scripture to you, then that's a whole nother different battle. And when we're talking about believers, then it's a whole nother different conversation. And it takes, you know, it really takes patience. And the Most High has to put it on their heart. So you just tell them and you show them. That's where we have to know Torah and know where it comes from. But we also have to know the New Testament and be able to teach it and show it such that we can make it a teaching moment. And if they're open to hearing, then they may hear you. If they're not open, maybe they may hear you but may not want to move at the moment. But trust me, they heard you. And if it's for them, if it's meant for them to know it or believe it, it may not be meant for them to know it or believe it from you. Their TV may be on late at night. They're listening to some religious channel. And that subject, the Most High will have that subject come up and come on, because that's what they listen to. And they will say the exact same thing you said. But then if they're listening to something that, you know, hey, it's in the world today, it's the popular belief of modern Christianity, her beliefs might be reinforced. It's all in what the Most High wants her to understand or not. And I have to put it that way because I, you know, I have an understanding now he's in control of everything. What you and I understand, we understand only because he allows us to understand it and see it. And then we might say, oh, well, and they might say, oh, well, he's not allowing you to see the liberty you have to eat the way that you want to eat and just pray over it. People can make all kind of arguments different kind of ways. But the truth of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, the Most High says his people can't do these things. And he didn't change those things. But it's the way that the church wants to believe it. So we have to allow them that. All right, if there's no more questions, in the morning I will find the scriptures that, you know, like your mother quoted, pray over it, and Elohim will sanctify it. That is appropriate in, you know, anytime we eat, we should be praying over our food anyway and him sanctifying it. But when it comes to those for kingdom's sake or for, you know, going to, you know, you're bringing somebody, trying to bring somebody into the kingdom, you're trying to witness to them, and they invite you to their house. Because surely if you invite them to your house, you're not going to cook anything unclean if you're following the dietary law. That should not even be a question. You might have to ask them, hey, do you like lamb? Oh, no. Hey, it tastes this way to me. Well, I can cook this. I can cook some beef ribs. Oh, no, they're too tough. I only like those pork ribs. They cook up just right. Well, no, I don't cook pork. Anything else that you can eat. But I don't cook pork. I don't cook unclean. 99% of the time, most people will accept it. And if they have no, you know, if they, you know, once they, if they start believing, then, you know, they'll come back to you and say, well, hey, can you give me some more on the dietary laws? Because they, you know, the Most High has opened their eyes to it, and they're open, and they don't want to eat unclean. But if it's in their heart, no, I'm not giving up my shrimp. I'm not giving up my pork ribs. Scripture says right here, all I got to do is pray over it. There's not going to be too much you can say to them to change them on that. But you know that you can't be disposed to go into their house because, and if they're going to cook something special for you and apart for you, then they're going to be expecting you to eat what they cooked. So I will find the scriptures, and we will go over those in the morning so that we have understanding that I'll find the scriptures concerning that, you know, idols are nothing and what your mentality is supposed to be. If you're in truth, then you should know that, hey, that ain't God that you over there. And if it was a dire situation, nobody's around, and you needed to eat, you could eat that food because you know that that idol is nothing. But if there's a believer in that idol around and you eat, you're not disposed to eat. You can't do it because you can't be in agreement with them. All right. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word on this evening. We thank you for, Father, just allowing us to understand that you don't want us to be an offensive people, that we are not to go around just offending people. And we're not to offend them and keep them out of the kingdom. We're not supposed to offend them in such a way that they can't enter in because of what I said to them, unless it's for good reason that they are sacrificing two idols and they don't want to let it go. And Father, we can't partake. It is you alone that we worship, Father, in all things. And we will not knowingly take part in the worship of another deity, not even to not offend a friend. Father, help us, be with us, give us clarity. Bring into our remembrance in all that we do every day, that we walk circumspect before you, that we are obedient to your word, that we help to bring people into your kingdom, and that we set the correct expectation. And Father, that we offend none. And if at all possible, that we offend not our brothers or our sisters, not the Gentile nations, and not the church. In Yeshua HaMashiach, express his name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So tomorrow morning, this evening, I'll find those scriptures. I don't have them in this particular. I think I have them in another lesson. I will find them. I don't have them in this one. Concerning, you know, you're praying over the food, and Elohim will sanctify it. He will bless it. And as I said, there's a time when you will do that to even to something that is unclean. Under the right circumstances. Other than that, no, we do not practice eating unclean. We don't make it a habit of, oh, you know, scripture says I can pray over this, so I'm just going to pray over. I like that fried shrimp. I'm going to go ahead and get me a few of those. I'm going to pray over and it's all right. But I know that I'm not supposed to be eating it. No, it's not what Brother Miles is saying. You know, that's not what we read. And so I don't want anybody to come back and say, well, you said, no, I'm saying we do not practice eating unclean. But for the kingdom's sake and for a soul's sake, somebody that the Most High has you witnessing to, that if it comes up and y'all haven't had the conversation, then don't offend them by refusing to eat what they put before you because you didn't tell them. Pray over it. The Most High will sanctify it and keep it moving. Then make sure you have the conversation. Because it's more important, it's really more important that you get them into the kingdom than you eating something one time unclean. Mosiah says, I'm going to sanctify it. It's not unclean when you eat it at that point. I sanctified it. All right. So we will look at those scriptures. That being said, may the Mosiah encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. My love does not compare to the love of the Most High. Can't love you like he loves you. Shalom, family. Have a happy Sabbath.
Forever, sing his praise which dwelleth.
and you have no women. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect.
Kingdom will